Welcome to the Real Clear Politics Takeaway for May 24th. I'm Andrew Walworth, Chief Content Officer at Real Clear Politics.
And I'm Carl Cannon, Washington Bureau Chief. Today is primary day, Andy.
It is primary day today. All eyes are on three states, Georgia, Alabama, and Texas. But let's start with Georgia. Carl, what do you think is going to happen, and what are the stakes?
Well, I never make predictions, as you know, Andy, but I'll tell you the stakes. Brian Kemp, the incumbent governor, who got crosswise with Donald Trump over the 2020 presidential election, is running, and he's being challenged in the Republican primary by Senator David Perdue, who Trump has endorsed. Perdue has not gotten traction. The polls show he's been behind the whole way, and that would be a blow to the prestige of the president. He's, you know, Georgia was a state that mattered to him most. He's also endorsed Trump, in the primary election for the Secretary of State. And, you know, these are Republicans that both Kemp and the Secretary of State endorsed Trump in 2020. But he, as everybody in the English speaking world knows, Trump contested that election. He particularly contested it in Georgia. And so we'll see how the Trump candidates do. They're not favored to win.
Is he backing off at all? Because he doesn't tend to back losers. And it's very personal for him, right? I mean, he hates Brian Kemp.
You made an interesting observation. Trump doesn't back losers. That's the biggest insult that you can level at him. He has a thing about that word. It's almost, it's like, it reminds me of the old Steve Martin parody of movies in which dead men don't wear plaid. And the Steve Martin character was triggered into being a homicidal maniac by the phrase cleaning woman, which is pretty anodyne. And Trump is like that about the word loser. So in the neighboring state of which Alabama, Trump has unendorsed a candidate, Bo Brooks, who he endorsed because he's done that a couple of times. Like if he endorses you and you're not going to win, then I didn't really mean it. He pulled the endorsement, which, you know, I've said before this show, it's like a guy, you know, snatching the roulette ball off the roulette wheel, just as it's about to land in the color he didn't pick. Look, you can't unendorse a guy. That's not even a word, is it?
I don't believe so. Well, the other race we're watching today closely is in Texas. It's a runoff election between Henry Cuellar and his former intern, a young woman named Cisneros, who has run against him before, came within a couple hundred or thousand votes, I think, last time she ran. Now she's backed by the squad. She has made abortion the centerpiece of her campaign. What are you looking for there? And do you think Henry Cuellar can pull this out?
Well, as you know, she's raised all this money. It's approaching $5 million for a house, you know, for a house race, a lot of money. And most of it, I assume most of it's almost all of it's from out of the district and much of it, if not more than half from out of state. She's a progressive, you know, an attractive progressive candidate, good credentials, very well spoken, makes her case. And she's running against a guy who's, you know, she's not yet 30, but he's 66 and he's been there a long time. I think he was first selected Cuellar in 2005. He's a very, we would have said he was a moderate Democrat in the old days, but you know, he's probably a conservative Democrat now as the Democratic Party has moved left.
He is the last and only pro-life Democrat in the House.
Right. And he's moderate on all kinds of issues, border issues and other things too. If Tom Bevin, who's not with us this morning, were here, he would point out, because Tom's pointed this out before, that the FBI raid on Henry Cuellar's home in January obviously didn't help him. It's a corruption probe, we think. But, you know, the FBI and the Justice Department are being squirrely about it, as usual. In April, Cuellar's lawyer came out and said, my client is not the target of the investigation, and leaked stories from the Justice Department said it's a corruption into Azerbaijan, which seems like some punchline to a joke, but we haven't heard the joke. So but obviously that hasn't helped him. There's some probably anti-FBI sentiment in that district, but more anti-corruption sentiment. And you know, that could be an upset.
Right. Well, so coming out of this, I guess the narrative line will be that Trump is not a kingmaker, in all cases at least, if Georgia goes the way we think. There's been no polling at all, I think, in the Cuellar race. So I don't think anyone really knows where that's going to be. I think it's going to be close. I mean, that's what everyone seems to feel. And so we'll see what the narrative coming out of that, too, because does that mean that the Supreme Court decision upcoming will, you know, have a real effect on turnout for the Democrats and might might give them a lifeline going into November.
Andy, if she wins, if Jessica Cisneros beats Henry Cuellar, that will be the dominant story, which is that the Democratic Party now has denuded itself of its last, you know, pro-choice, you know, Catholic, traditional Catholic politician, you know, at least in, on Capitol Hill, who believes, doesn't believe in abortion. But there are other things going on there. She has described, Cisneros has described Cuellar as the Joe Manchin of Texas. Now, that in some circles would be a compliment, not an insult. The progressives have put a lot in there. That district is changing, but not, it doesn't seem it's getting more progressive. But also there's strong anti-incumbent sentiment in this country right now. I think she might pull it off, but I think there'll be multiple factors, not just the abortion issue if she does.
Well, Carl, we'll watch those races. We'll see what happens. We'll be back here Thursday and Friday, of course, for Real Clear Politics. I'm Andrew Walworth.
And I'm Carl Cannon. And this has been the Real Clear Politics Takeaway for Tuesday, May 24th, 2022.